Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the word of God. Amen. The entrance of your word always brings light. And let that light, as always, shine in our hearts again this morning in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody says, amen. Praise the Lord. Today, praise the Lord. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. I like it when people are excited. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, one of the reasons why I like, you know, people to clap and shout and praise the Lord, you know, because we do record these messages and we'll put them on the website. The church doesn't sound so dull. So let's try that again. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Good. Today, the bread of life, the living bread that came down from heaven. I'm going to be talking about the bread of life for just a few minutes. I'm going to be teaching on the sermon of Jesus on that. So I can't really preach my sermon on top of that sermon. He already preached it. But we're going to teach it and see what he has to say about that. But I want to start here in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3. In that chapter, the last part of it says that men ought to not live by bread alone, but by the word of God. And he humbled thee, he said, suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna. Now, they were going to talk about these, you know, different kinds of food here. Fed you with manna, which you know not, neither did your fathers know, that he may make thee to know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Well, you know, the people that were listening to that in those days, it was confusing. I myself, even now, even though I understand a lot more, if I read it, I don't understand what he's talking about. I mean, he gave them manna from heaven so that he would teach them that they shouldn't live by bread, but by every word of God. Well, that may not be very clear then. But Jesus made it very clear later on. Amen. Now, we see that Jesus himself quoted this scripture when he was taken for temptation by the devil after his long fast. In the book of Luke chapter 4 and verse 4. In fact, the very first of the series of temptations that the devil brought to the Lord, you know, the answer that the Lord gave to overcome that was this very scripture. When the devil said, you know, turn these stones to bread. We know you are hungry, you know. And Jesus said, yes. He said, look, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Now, so that was Jesus' answer to that temptation, you know, he could have just given in to the temptation, as we heard, you know, in the Bible study this morning. You use the word of God to avoid and to, you know, keep yourself from temptation. So Jesus did that. Now, I'm going to go straight into the sermon that Jesus preached on the bread of life. And if the Lord will help us, if we have time, we'll be bringing some expositions out. And then I have a few other scriptures to read. Now, Jesus in the book of John, my text is going to be taken from John chapter 6. And I'm going to read a few verses. Actually, several verses, because I want to bring out some viewpoints. So turn with me to John chapter 6. Now, prior to this, of course, you know, there was some miracle that Jesus had done and everything like that. You know, bread, miracles, and so on. You know, the writers of the gospel, they recorded different miracles that Jesus did in different ways about the bread, how he fed the people, and so forth. You know, so we see that Jesus would begin to talk about this in chapter 6 of the book of John. And I'm going to pick up my text from like around verse 26. There's a lot to read, but let me abbreviate it because of time. So, the Jews were seeking Jesus because they'd seen the miracles about the bread and things like he had done. So Jesus answered them and said in verse 26 of John chapter 6, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat the loaves and were filled." So Jesus was able to discern what was in their hearts. You know, they wanted some more food. I mean, they saw how Jesus took a small boy's, lunch. That Andrew said, "Well, we have a small boy here that has a lunch." And Jesus took it, you know, and blessed it, gave it to the disciples, and they gave it before everybody. And they ate, and everybody was filled. And there were 5,000 men that sat down, you know, we're told, in the preceding chapters. I don't have time to go into all that. So Jesus, you know, when they were looking for him, Jesus went to a certain place, you know, and they were saying, "Well, where's Jesus? Where's Jesus?" He asked his disciples. So finally, when they found him, he said, you know, so Jesus said, "Well, you know, I know why you are seeking me. It wasn't just because of the miracles, but you're seeking me because of the, you know, bread and everything." Now, verse 27, listen to this very carefully. Because this is something that a lot of us are struggling with in this verse 27. "Labor not for the meat that perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him has the Father sealed." Now, labor not. This is the challenge that just about everybody has, especially the young people. They're raising families, they're doing all of these things and so forth. Some of us that are a little bit older, I mean, we still labor, but maybe God has given us some rest on some sides. You know, maybe it's not as much, you know, but, you know, even some of the older people are still struggling just as much, you know. So everybody's struggling for, you know, got to make ends meet. I got to pay my this. I got to put food on the table. I got to do this. I got to do that, you know. Now, there are some things, some metaphors that Jesus uses in this message that he's teaching here. You know, so sometimes you have to take it literally, and sometimes you have to understand the metaphor. You know, so I'm going to bring them out in series. Now, what Jesus is saying here is, he's not selling you, I mean, we know that the Bible says that, you know, we must walk. If any man does not walk, he shouldn't eat, and so forth. He's just not saying that. But what he's saying is that, look, don't put all your energy into that. Just like he said, man shall not live by bread alone. Well, physically speaking, you need food to live. Amen? So there's that kind of bread. Then there's that other kind of bread, which is what we're going to be talking about today. So Jesus is giving a metaphor here. I say, look, rather than devote all your energy to something that's going to perish, why don't you spend some of that energy for things that lead to eternal life? Getting a hold of the real bread, the real meat that endures unto everlasting life. Amen. Now, so they asked him and said, okay, so what shall we do to do the works of God? Said, this is the works of God, that you should believe on him whom the Father has sent. And they asked him and said, what sign do you show us so that we may believe? You know, so Jesus said unto them, you know, now he's going to get into really that topic now. Because when Jesus was telling them that, look, believe on him who he has sent. So the people asked him and said, look, okay. They assume that he's talking about people believing in him. So they asked him, well, what signs should you show then so that we can believe in you? Because look, I mean, in the olden days, our fathers ate manna in the wilderness, you know, and so forth. They ate manna in the desert, as it was written. They even quoted to Jesus. So it was written, he gave them bread from heaven. I mean, all those things that happened. What are you doing now to help us believe in you? Well, because they spoke on the subject of manna, now Jesus is going to really deal with that subject. Amen. Hallelujah. So he answers them and says, verily, verily. And when he times say verily, verily, he's stressing the point. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that bread that Moses gave to your fathers in the wilderness, that was not the bread from heaven. Even though you think it fell down from heaven, that's not the bread from heaven. Amen? So people are really confused now, because the manna did seem to fall down from heaven. They didn't know where it came from. It just showed up on the ground. You know, so they said, well, so he said, look, but it is my Father that gives you that true bread from heaven. Hallelujah. Right away, you see that he taketh away the old in order to establish the new. Taketh away the first, not to establish the second. Jesus right away, he does away with that manna in the wilderness. Right there with one sweeping statement, he just does away with it. Amen. So people are still looking about that manna. Jesus already finished that one. Now, he's talking about the real bread from heaven now. He said, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Now, Jesus is going to describe what the bread of life is. And as if that's not enough, well, he's going to tell them some things that are hard to swallow here. But anyway, when the people heard that, look, there's some kind of bread different than the manna, the people immediately said what? Lord, evermore give us this bread. Amen. That's what they said in verse 34. Lord, evermore give us this bread. This kind of bread? Wow, we want it. So Jesus turns around and says to them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. How many of you can say amen to that? Amen. Well, now we're getting into the metaphors that Jesus uses throughout this whole sermon that he's preaching here. Because obviously, there's no way he can be talking about physical hunger. Because he himself, at some time, he hungered and thirsted. Even on the cross, he said, I thirst. And then to fulfill the scriptures, they gave him vinegar and so forth. You know, so there was a time in John chapter 4 at the well, he was hungry. You know, so there's no way he could have been talking about physical hunger. Are you still with me, folks? If it was physical hunger, then Jesus himself should never have been hungry. But he was hungry and he was thirsty because he was in the human flesh. Well, if he wasn't talking about natural hunger, what was he talking about then? Or thirst? Well, there's a song that we sing, say, bread of heaven, fill me till I hunger no more, and, you know, fill me until I thirst no more. Now, so, let's see what he was talking about. He said, but I say unto you, that ye also have seen me, and believe not. Now, Jesus is always able to discern what everybody is standing in front of him. He said, look, you've seen me, but you don't believe. Now, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. And him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Hallelujah. That's a lesson for everybody here, especially, you know, churches and ministries and so forth. You know, all that the Father has given. You know, sometimes we struggle and so forth to get everybody coming. Well, we do the best we can, and we must do that. But God is the one that appoints who's going to come. Amen. And all that God has given us to be in this ministry, they will come. Amen. There's nothing anybody can do about it. But we must do everything we can to try to, help along in the work of the ministry. Now, he said, now let's go back into this. For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will. Now, this is very crucial. There's a lot of things I want to bring out in this thing. This is the Father's will. He's going to explain the Father's will now. What is it that Jesus came down to do? If I ask anybody now, before you read this verse, what is the Father's will? There may be as many different answers as people that are sitting here. But Jesus is going to explain it to us right here in this verse. Now, this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he had given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. That is the Father's will. It is simple and it is settled. That's the Father's will, that all that God gave to Christ in the harvesting of souls, the Lord will lose nothing, but he will raise them up even at the last day. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Give the Lord a hand clap for that. Thank you, Jesus. And this is the will of him that sent me. So he's continuing in that. The will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Well, let me add to that. Not exactly adding to the word of God, but let me explain it. Well, we don't see Jesus physically now. But Jesus prayed in John 17 to, you know, he said, look, I pray not only for these that see me now and hear my word, but I pray also for those who won't see me later, but will eventually, through the proclamation of the word, through these people and so on down through the ages, Jesus prayed for all. So it's not only those who see him, But I dare say to you also today in the word of the Lord that everyone that heareth about the Son and believes on him should also have everlasting life. Can you say amen to that? Whether they see Jesus physically or not, but if they hear about him through our preaching and they believe, they also will be received to have everlasting life. And Jesus said, I will raise him up at the last day. So you see that he's continued talking about raising him up at the last day. Now, we're going to get deeper into this metaphor because he's talking about raising them up in the last day. But then he's going to say something that's very astounding in a minute. Now, so then the Jews started to murmur and said, well, why does he say I am the bread from heaven? They actually understood what he was saying. It's not that they didn't understand. They understood that he was claiming to be the bread from heaven. That's why they murmured. If they didn't understand, it would be a different story. They actually understood. And so when they murmured and they said, look, isn't this Mary's son, Joseph, and brothers and sisters? We know them. And so for this carpenter's son, how could he possibly have come down from heaven? They understood that that's what he was saying. So when Jesus said, look, don't murmur not in your heart among yourself. No man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draws him. And I want everybody to understand that, you know. And I will raise him up again at the last day. That's the third time saying about raising him up at the last day. Now, it is written in the prophets that they shall all be taught of God. So he said, look, therefore every man that hath heard, see, not necessarily seen Jesus, but I've heard, you know, and learned from the Father, they come unto me, Jesus said. And he said, look, verily, well, will come unto me. Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God, he has seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. How many of you say praise the Lord to that? And verse 48. I am. Now, there are many places in the book of John where he uses that phrase, I am. Now, I am that bread of life. Hallelujah. Now, the Jews, they knew who I am meant. I mean, I am was the name that they couldn't even pronounce. Today, we call it Yahweh, but they didn't even have any vowels in there. They couldn't even pronounce it. It was the God that said, I am that I am. Now, Jesus is going to tell them now, I am that bread of life. And he told them, your fathers did eat mannas in the wilderness and are dead. The manna that you thought came from heaven, your fathers ate that manna and are dead. Now, if that manna came from heaven, they would not have died. That's what Jesus is saying. He's making an argument here. I mean, there is God, any given bread that comes down from heaven, from God really, will make you live forever. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus is saying. If your fathers had eaten that true bread from heaven, they would still have been living, but they are dead. Now, he's going to tell them something else now. Now, this, I imagine maybe he points to himself. Now, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Now, this is really going to throw everybody a loop here, or a curveball, or anything you want to call it, because, you know, what are you talking about? And he goes on to say, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. Now, if any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Now, this at this part, I mean, first they're contending with him, claiming to be the bread from heaven. Now, he's going to tell them that they have to eat his flesh. My goodness. So, the Jews began to say, what is he talking about? How is he going to give us his flesh to eat? Folks, how is he going to give us his flesh to eat? Well, we're going to explain that here this morning. Amen. Amen. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily. Again, he's saying verily, he's stressing it. Truly, truly, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. And the Jews said, okay, that's it, we've had it. You know, who do you think we are, cannibals or something? Eating people's flesh and so on? No, we won't have any part of that. And Jesus goes on to tell them, whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. I've counted about 4 or 5 times that he said, I will raise him up at the last day. Now, so, if somebody that eats his bread, let's make an argument now. If he said, whosoever eat this bread shall live forever. And then he said, I will raise him up at the last day. What's he talking about? It seems to be contradicting. He said, no, he's using metaphors. Sometimes he's talking about something else, and people are thinking he's talking about something else. Kind of like when he said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And they went and accused him to the high priest and everything. And this man said, he's going to tear down the temple. Well, Jesus didn't argue, but he knew what he was talking about. Amen. So in this place, he's using metaphors, mixing the natural with the spiritual. He's mixing natural hunger with spiritual food. Mixing it up. When he talks, they think he's talking one thing, but he's talking another thing. And he's mixing it up there. Now, so he said, look. So when he said he will live forever, well, is it a live forever physically? Well, if he's live forever physically, why does he have to raise them up again at the last day? So he's talking about something more. Now, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh, now I skipped one verse. Now, verse 55. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, even so that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Amen. And this is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread, probably pointing to himself, shall live forever. Amen. Now, these things he said while he was in the synagogue and so forth, and everybody was confused. Even his disciples were confused. And they said in verse 66, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Hallelujah. Well, you know, and I dare say, the disciples, they missed a golden opportunity here. They could have gone to Jesus like they did for the parable of the sower and some of the other parables, the parable of the tares and the wheat. They didn't understand. They went back to Jesus and said, what is that all about? You know, and Jesus said, well, to them it's not given. You know, we speak to them in parables so that that which is written may come upon them. You know, seeing you may see and not understand, and you know, I mean, perceive. And hearing you may hear and not understand. So, but for you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Amen. And then he would expand. But they missed a golden opportunity here. Because they didn't. I was reading and say, well, let me see if they actually went and asked him. Why did they just say it's a hard saying and they all went their way? Why didn't they just go back to him and say, what exactly were you talking about? And he would have expounded it. Well, so the thing has remained a mystery for a long time. But Jesus reveals it to us now. Amen. Amen, folks. It may seem a hard saying, but you know, it's only if you don't understand that he was talking in a metaphor. If you thought he was talking about he physically giving this physical flesh that he had on for us to eat, then it would be a very hard saying. But if you understood what he was talking about, it won't be so hard. Amen. So let's bring it down here. Let's break it down for us. So Jesus asked them, does this offend you? The fact that I say you must eat my flesh and drink my blood, if this offends you, you ain't seen nothing yet. Amen. And you ain't heard nothing yet. What and if you will see the Son of Man ascend up to heaven, even where he was before? And some of them saw it. In Acts chapter 1, you know, they saw it. When Jesus was taken up, they saw it. You know, he said, well, if this offends you, then what are you going to see if you say that? So Jesus is going to explain it now. And when I read this next verse, you know, then I'm going to go back and explain some of the things I've read. It is the spirit. So Jesus is going to explain. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. I'm not talking about physical flesh. Amen, folks. You know, if it was the flesh he was talking about, why would he say the flesh profit nothing? When he already said the flesh you must eat. So he wasn't talking about the flesh. But he just dropped it because they really didn't come and say, expound to us. If they would have said, expound to us what those things meant, they would have expounded it. But he didn't say so, he just dropped it. You know, the flesh profits nothing. Now, he's going to explain in this next sentence what the real meaning of the bread of life is. The words that I speak unto you, they are the spirit and they are the very life. Amen. Now, so the bread of life is basically the living word of God. Can you say amen to that? Now, if Jesus is the bread of life, let's take a look at prophecies concerning even his birth. I'm going to read just one on the sake of time. In the book of Micah, chapter 5 and verse 2. Turn with me quickly to Micah, chapter 5, verse 2. Hallelujah. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah. Now, Bethlehem was, you know, on the way to Ephratah. You know, Genesis talks about that. You know, where they, you know, Isaac or somebody buried his, or buried his wife around there, or Abraham buried somebody, said it's on the way to Ephratah. Anyway, thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, or among the thousands of the cities of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old and from everlasting. How many of you can say amen to that? Amen. This ruler that is going to come, who has been from everlasting, it's not just some ruler that just set up shop. He has been from everlasting. He will be born in Bethlehem. Now, Bethlehem means God's house of bread. That's what it means. Bethlehem. Bethel is literally the house of God, and Hem is the house of God of bread. You know, bread, Hem. God's house of bread. It's what Bethlehem means. So how fitting that Jesus, the very bread of life, would be born in the very Bethlehem. Can you say amen? In the book of Luke chapter 2. Also Matthew has a story about that very quickly. Matthew chapter 2 verse 1. You know, but let me just read this in Luke chapter 2. Let me read from about verse 4. Now, in the days when Mary was pregnant and so forth, there was a decree made that everybody should go back to their, you know, birthplace for census and taxing and all this. And Joseph, verse 4, also went up into Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. He went there to be taxed with Mary's wife and so forth. And so it was so, while they were there, that the days that she should give birth were fulfilled. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So we see that he was born in Bethlehem, God's house of bread and the very bread of life. There was no other place where he could have been born. And that city was already predicting and prophesying about it, although people didn't understand it for ages. You know, now Jesus begins to tell about himself. Now, some people have thought that eating his flesh and drinking his blood means taking communion. That's the farthest thing from the truth. Now, we're going to have communion today. It has nothing to do with that at all. Communion is for something else, and we will explain that. Now, you know, you can eat communion all you want. People eat communion and they still die and they're still sick. When they don't discern the body of the Lord. You know, so it's not that at all. But what is it then if it's not that? Well, of course, there's no way it could have been. In fact, if you see what people do today with communion, you know, it is a shame. How even some churches do communion today. It's a shame. Because the Bible says that let us keep the feast with unleavened bread. You know, and today, the people eat crackers and all these kind of things. It's a disgrace, you know, and so on. And pieces of it all over the place. We are all members of that one bread. Amen? Now, but that's not what it is about. What we're talking about is the very word of God. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was nothing made that was made. In Him, in the Word, was the very life, and the life was the light of men. And verse 14 says, and the Word, capital W, this whole time, capital W, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we know he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, this Word was the very life and the light of men. And this is the Word that Jesus was talking about. And he said he mixed it up, you know, some, because of all the metaphors, different things that he was using. A metaphor is something that sounds like something, but it means something else. You know, that's what it is. You know, so he said, well, my flesh and my blood, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Well, a flesh, eating his flesh, is basically taking the bread of life. Now, there's bread. Bread in the Bible is used to mean physical bread and could also mean food. You know, do you have any bread? Or sometimes they say, do you have any meat? You know, so bread is food. Now, let me tell you something. That if you don't get anything else, this is the punchline from this teaching today. Punchline. I'm going to drop it right now. The punchline is this. Food is something that you must eat by yourself. It cannot be done by proxy. Intake of food, in fact, science has not perfected it, and they won't. Can't be done. You will have to eat the food by yourself. Now, people can feed it to you, but you have to eat it. Hallelujah. A baby that is in the womb, while they are in the womb, the mother does the eating. The moment that baby is born, the baby must eat food by itself. There's no other way. The mother can no longer, you know, eat the food and then the baby will have it. No. The baby must now eat the food, either through breastfeeding or some other food, but the baby must now directly eat the food. Amen. Now, so this is eating the bread of life. Is not something, folks, that anybody can do on your behalf. Are you still with me? We can come to church. The minister can expound the word of God. Even Jesus expound the word of God and so forth. That's feeding it to you. But you must take it and eat it yourself. Nobody can eat it for you, folks. You know, just wait. You don't eat long enough natural food. You don't eat long enough, you will start starving. And you starve long enough, you will actually die. Now, that's the same. Just take that into the spiritual realm. People that don't eat this bread of life starve. And they may not recognize that they are starving initially. You know, after a while, they actually die. They are dead in sins and trespasses. And they are walking corpses. They're going around, they're already dead. Because they are not eating this bread of life. This bread of life is the only thing that can keep you spiritually alive. Amen? And if you are not feeding on it, there's a song that says, I learned it when I was in Sunday school. I was just a little boy like this. I am feeding on the living bread. I am drinking from the fountainhead. And who so drink? That Jesus said, shall never, never thirst again. Living by the word of God. That's what he says right from Deuteronomy 8 and 3. Man shall not live by bread alone. Because man is composed not only of the human side, but also of the spiritual side. As you feed your human side with physical bread, you must also feed your spiritual side with spiritual bread. And if you don't, the spiritual side will be dead, walking around in this carcass of a body that we carry around, but the spirit is already dead. Now, that's the reason why most people can't, you know, overcome temptation. Because they don't take the word of God in by themselves. Now, it's a wonderful thing to come into the house of God like this, once on Sundays, and so forth like that. Then what happens from the time that you leave from here until next Sunday when you come back? The Bible said the Bereans, they were accounted to be of great honor. Why? Because when they heard the word of God, they went and searched the scriptures to see whether those things were so. And they started to actually eat the thing themselves. Now, how many people actually go back and search the scriptures, or go back and listen to the sermons, or actually go back and read the Bible and spend time and feed on the word of God yourself? Not just what somebody else said, but what God is saying directly to you. Amen. Now, it is a wonderful thing to listen to preaching and so forth, and we must do it because that's what God ordained for now. But nobody can eat this bread for you. Nobody. You have to eat it yourself. Now, if you eat it, here are some benefits. Let me just quickly read. There's a lot, but I'm looking at the time, and I will just read a few. I don't have time to read all the scriptures that have to do with the benefits. But let me just read a few. In the book of Psalm 119, I had these scriptures written down, and we mentioned them already in the Bible study this morning. The whole chapter of the book of 119, an extremely long chapter, the longest there that you have, talks about, the whole chapter has to do with the word of God. He calls it thy law, he calls it thy precepts, he calls it this and that, you know, but it is the word of God that he's talking about. Take time to read the whole chapter. Very long. The longest in that Bible. But I'm going to just bring out a few verses. Verse 9. Wherewithal, or by what means, shall a young man cleanse his way? By what means? You young folks, how can you cleanse your way? Cleanse all the things, that garbage and so forth that's going around the world. How can you do it? Well, he's going to tell you how to do it. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Amen. So you will see that, yeah, here's some of the benefits of the word of God, taking it in, that we are going to read. Besides the eternal life. I'm going to come to that at the end. Verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. Amen? You know, that's another thing that he does for you. The word of God will help you, you know, to discern between good and bad. And you know that, no, the word of God, that's against the word of God. I won't have any part of it. And you quote the word of God. It is written. When the devil brings some kind of thing, then you quote the word of God. But you can't quote the word of God if you don't know it. And you can't know it if you are not reading it and studying it. Amen. And it's not just to read it. It is to study it. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needs not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of God and the word of truth. And I noticed today, as we were doing the Bible study, that Brother John also gave out a memory verse. I like to do that. In the days when we used to have Bible study in the old buildings, and so I used to give out memory verses. And some people were intimidated by that. I'm glad that somebody else gave out a memory verse today. That scripture says you don't need to be ashamed. You study the word of God. There's nothing to be ashamed about it. Study it. The word of God is not for us to figure it out when we get to heaven. It is for now. Don't wait until you get to heaven and try to figure it out. Then this, it is now that we should know the word. The devil knows the word, folks, let me tell you. And if you don't know the word, the devil can play tricks on your mind, like he did to Eve. Did God say that you should not even touch every tree that is in the garden? God didn't say that, but she didn't know exactly the word of God, and he played tricks on her mind. And the rest of the story, you know. So we must know the word. Study the word of God. You show yourself approved. Hallelujah. You know, I love to study the word of God. You know, I love to study. I love to memorize scriptures. Scripture is oozing out of my head. Some people think it's said knowledge. No, it's not. Because I put my heart into it. And I tell you something too, by the grace of God, there are many things I don't remember. But scriptures, I don't forget. Praise ye the name of the Lord. That's right. Because I put my heart into it to study, to show myself approved. A workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So, now, many verses in this scripture, you know, tells us, I don't have time to read them all, so let me skip most of them. But go back and read the whole of that chapter, 119 of the Psalms. Verse 89 says, forever, O God, thy world is settled in heaven. And I say, let it also be settled in your heart. Amen? Not just in heaven, let it be settled in your heart as well. Praise the Lord. Let me read verse 105. A couple more verses. There's so many that I marked down, but I'm just going to skip through them. Psalm 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, if you are constantly studying the word of God, you will not stumble. Now, people stumble when there is no light. In the dark, you stumble. If everything is dark and you come in there and there's no light, you're going to stumble over a stool or a chair or something. You know what? The word of God, he said, is a lamp where I'm standing. And it's a light where I'm going. By reading the word of God, I have understanding. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, let us also know that, you know, that word, like I said, you must do the feeding yourself. Now, this one you've heard me just about every time I stand here to preach. I quote this one all the time when I pray. Psalm 119 and verse 130. I always say it when I'm here. The entrance of thy word giveth light. Amen. And it gives understanding to the simple. Now, I believe with all my heart that when you enter, let this word enter inside of you, it will give light to your ways. You will not stumble around. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He will guide you with his eye when you are. And let this. Now, but let me. The Lord just reminded me of this scripture. I wrote it down, but I probably have forgotten. He just brought it back to my mind. Read it, he said. Read Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. So let me read it. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. He said to Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Why did he say mouth and not heart? Think about it. We're talking about eating the word of God. Why did he not say, well, this book of the law shall be in your heart or in your head for memory and so forth? You know, no. He said, this book of the law shall be in your mouth. It shall not depart out of your mouth. You will constantly be eating it. Hallelujah. You know, the prophets, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, that words were found and I did eat them. You know, you got to eat the word of God. It was like a roll in those days. And they found it and they ate the word of God. And it was in their bones like a fire. You know, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You must constantly be eating it. And when you eat it, you meditate on it day and night. You know, and there are some more blessings there. That thou mayest observe to do all that is written. That's the first thing. Why will you meditate on the word of God? Well, you need to meditate on the word of God so you know what it says. And observe to do everything that it says. And stay away from doing everything that he says not to do. Amen. But then he gives a blessing afterwards. He said, if you do all of that, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Are you kidding me? By digesting the word of God, meditating on it and so forth, I can actually make my way. Not this get rich quick things that you hear today. No, you got to eat the bread of life. That's how you make your way prosperous, folks. And then shalt thou have good success. You want success? Well, dig in to the word of God. You want success? Get bury your head in the word of God. Begin to study and begin to read. Because God, you know, you read, you know, like some people say, you are what you eat. Anybody ever heard that? You are what you eat. In fact, yesterday, when I was thinking of this message or this teaching, I actually went and looked it up. You are what you eat. And I saw so many articles. And even I read one interesting article, which was written by a doctor and so forth, about health and so on. I'm talking about you are what you eat. Well, folks, if the children of this world think that you are what you eat, the Bible says the children of this generation are wiser. The children of this world wiser in their own generation than the children of light. You are what you eat, folks. You know, if you constantly put this junk food, fast food, and poisons inside your body, it's going to catch up with you, folks. Hello? Now, in the same way, if you eat good things, you know, there are some, my message today is not about that, but just illustration. If you eat good things, you can do some good things for your body. In the same way, if you eat the word of God, you eat it long enough, you actually may start to resemble the word of God. Amen. That means what comes out of your mouth will become to be like the word of God. When there's a situation, the word of God will be oozing out of you. Anybody say anything, you have the word right there. You know, the Bible says always to have a reason, ready to give an answer for the reason of the hope that is in you. Out of season and in season. There's never a time that you're out of season. Amen? Amen, folks? Amen. The out of season means you're on vacation, you're in the mount, you're Disneyland, anywhere. The word of God is still there. Amen? Amen. It's not only after you are fasted. When you are fasted and prayed up, that's in season. But even when you're out of season, it's right there. Amen? In season and out of season, the word of God is right there. You have eaten it, you have digested it, it has entered into you, you start to become what you eat. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Okay, Lord, I learned the scripture you said I should read. Now, let me try to close this out because of time. So, let's finish this up. What Jesus was saying here is a hard saying. But it wasn't talking about eating his physical flesh or drinking his physical blood. Now, how does eating his bread, eating his flesh and drinking his blood, if we understand that the blood that he gave is he shed it for the remission of sins. We must accept that word, receive that work of redemption. That we understand. But also, this eating of his bread, flesh and so forth, the two things together is what leads to eternal life. Praise the Lord. You can't have one without the other. You cannot, because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So you must be born again. The way that that happens is a regeneration, a process of regeneration through the washing of water by the word and also the cleansing of the sin nature through the blood of Christ. Because Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. So Jesus shed his blood to remit our sins. But this word, now that part Jesus did for you. You can't do it yourself. They used to do it in the olden days. Kill goats and bulls and all these things and think that that would take away the sin nature. It never did. You know, every year there's a remembrance of the sin. They come back and so forth. But this man, Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, one time, he did it. Amen. And it's done. Now that part he did for us. But the part of eating the word, we must do for ourselves. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Let's close it right there. I want us to stand to our feet. There are many treasures in this world. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, I didn't have time to read it. He said, look, you know, I look for thy word, I rejoice at your word as somebody that found great spoil. Like if you won the lottery or something, I'm not telling anybody to play that. But he's saying, look, I found a great spoil, something, you know. I mean, that's how it says the rejoicing of my soul and so on and so forth. Read the whole chapter. Is that the way the word of God is to you? Or is it just something, now some people take their Bible and put it under their pillow as if it's going to do some magic. That's not going to help you, folks. You can put it under your pillow all you want. In fact, in every hotel room, there's a Bible there. That doesn't prevent people from committing adultery there. Amen? That's right. But this word must not depart out of your mouth. You must digest it. You must read it. And you must do what it says. And the more you start doing it, the more it starts affecting your life, your marriage, your life, even everything around you starts taking the shape of the word of God. Now, this is the bread that came down from heaven. It is the word. I don't have time to explain it too much today, but maybe in some Bible study, we can go deeper into that. But meditate on this today. If you're not eating this word for yourself, you know, the life that you had will be diminishing. Just like if somebody is not eating physical food, they will start starving. Spiritual life will be diminishing until finally it's gone. And when it's gone, you won't even know it. You know, praise the Lord. That's not going to be our portion in Jesus' name. I want us to raise our hands and I'm going to pray. I'm going to close this out here. A Bible study of your own on these things will help. Raise up your hands as we pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the word of God that was given for us, that we may eat thereof and live forever. If any man eat of this bread, Jesus said, he shall live forever. And if any man come to me and eat of this that I have to offer, he shall never hunger and thirst again, because I will feed him continually. This word of God is so rich. Father, we pray that you give us the grace and the hunger and desire and the thirst for the word of God in our lives. In Jesus' name. And he said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. If you hunger and thirst after the word of God, God is going to reveal unto the worthy seeker and the loving inquirer deep things out of his word. It's always going to do it, folks. But if you are not, if you are a casual looker, you are not going to get anything that way. You will seek me and find me when you shall seek me with all your heart, saith the Lord. You must put your mind, Ezra in 7 and 10, he purposed in his heart to seek the Lord and to search the word of God and teach the same. You must purpose in your heart to spend time in the word of God. Father, we pray that you give us the grace to do this in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody says, amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen and amen.